Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, I have a bang-up great show. I think you're going to really enjoy this today. Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire. He's all over the world. He's in Santa Monica for the Detroit Auto Show. That's right. It's in Santa Monica. They're going to go down Route 66. Wow. And the vehicle's on display at the world-class Detroit Auto Show beginning on January 14th. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun. Colin Weston, host of the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup, latest in golf technology, innovation, sustainability, entertainment, and wellness news, plus his most listened to Mod Golf episodes back in 2025, way back when. It's only 3 days old, Danielle, the year. Okay. And Ben Hongo, president of the Aloha Section PGA. He's with us, director of instruction, Hongo Golf Academy. We're going to learn a little something. And Jeff Shackelford, author, 13 books, publisher, The Quadrilateral. You need to get that. You need to get The Quadrilateral because the writing is, oh, it's amazing. He's going to be with us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does appliance repairs, maintenance, and sales. The Newtown Driving Range, warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your kids to play golf. The game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Evilé next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And thank you very much. I want to let you know about some tee times, because if you're going to play golf this weekend, it's got to be today. Yeah. Okay. And the reason I say that is because while today's going to be mostly cloudy, windward and Mauka, scattered showers, leeward, isolated showers in the morning and some scattered showers in the afternoon with easterly winds about 15. Well, tonight, some, they say, very strong variable winds to 15 miles per hour. That's not very strong, no. But occasional showers and isolated thunderstorms on Kauai. Numerous showers and isolated thunderstorms on Oahu and Maui. Locally heavy rainfall possible. High about 79, low about 65. And this is going to go on through Monday. So you see, you shouldn't be out playing golf with a metal stick, you know, in your hands, if it's going to be thunder and lightning. Not good for you. So some tee times real quick. 8:32, and I'll mention them again. Volcano's not erupting, but it's certainly an amazing look. So there's a 9:24 at the Volcano Golf Club. Makalei has a 9:28. At Kiahuna, we've got, at Poipu Bay, 8:40, 11:30, and 12:40, the Wind Warriors are on the course. You're the reason why it's going to be gusting. Kauai Lagoons, 9 o'clock, 10:36, 11:48. And we've got on Oahu several openings at Pearl at Kalaau'au, 8:48, 9:36, and 10:28. Hawaii Kai has an 11:08. Turtle Bay, 8:52 and a 10:10. The Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 9 o'clock, a 10 o'clock, an 11 o'clock. The Jungle Guys, they're on the golf course. Oh, the Swinging Skirts are on the course as well. They're at Wailea. They're on the Emerald Course, 11:50, 1:50, those two openings available at Wailea. On the Blue Course, if you'd like to get out and have some fun, there's an 11:50 and a 1:50. Now, into the clubhouse, Jeff Shackelford, thank you, author of 13 books and publisher, Quadrilateral. I'm so excited because we usually do like an end of the year, but it didn't work quite out. So we've got a beginning of the year with Jeff Shackelford. Hey, Jeff.
Aloha, Danielle. Yeah, we always do something year end or kick off the year kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it works.
It works, right? Yeah, so Jeff Shackelford, an amazing writer, devoted to all things Grand Slam, Best Cup events, the Ryder Cup, of course. He was a senior writer with Golf Week, USA Today. He's worked for all of the golf publications, a very long list. Are you working on another book? I mentioned 13 books. Are you going for number 14?
Oh, yeah. I'm always toying with something, but the newsletter takes most of my time at the moment because it seems to never end, the news. And
yes.
And, I set it up to kind of not have to work too hard in November, December, and January, but... It's a crazy time in the pro golf world, and it seems like there's just stuff always happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why from the Quadrilateral that I got in my inbox, and you can get in your inbox too, you'll so appreciate the writing, the information that we don't get from any other source. And that's the beauty of this. Okay, how do we get your Quadrilateral? How do we get that?
Well, easiest thing is just Google Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F, and golf, and all my website, all that stuff comes up.
Great. All right. So one of the things that I was reading in the Quadrilateral was about Rory McIlroy on Live Golf. And he says he's welcome to bring back those, or they're welcome to come back, Live golfers, back to the PGA Tour, including Bryson DeChambeau. Without any further penalties. The quote in Jeff's column here is, I think they've already paid their consequence. What do you think, Jeff Shackelford, of the LIV golfers coming back to the PGA Tour?
Well, I think it's going to be a really exhausting and nauseating and boring story we have to hear about all year because I don't think many of them are leaving. The LIV isn't going away yet. And it just kind of speaks to the whole sort of clubby world of pro golf that there's just going to be this, will we welcome him back to the club thing. And I don't think fans are going to find it that interesting. And hopefully the players get the gist soon that we just don't care about your little politics. Go out and play and put on a good show
yes.
kind of thing. I may be wrong.
No.
But that's just my sense is that this is that they're – You know, a lot of the things we're stuck with right now in the game are as a result of this sort of cloistered little world, and they've managed to help hold on to the health of the sport because we've had great majors, and there was a really good year on the PGA Tour, and there's just all sorts of terrible signs that they're not appreciating what they have, and we're going to be stuck in this little. Will he or won't he kind of thing. And obviously some of it was just set up by Brooks Koepka leaving a year before his contract expired. So I understand the newsworthiness of it, but I'm on the side of finding it all kind of tedious.
It is tedious. But Rory says, I think they've already paid their consequence. They've made the money, but they've paid their consequence in terms of the reputation and some of the things they've lost by going over there. You know,
yeah.
I kind of agree with that.
Well, the real key was that last part, and what he means is not even really the reputation part as much as it's just clear, and we knew this going in, that certain players would be fine. They'll take their money and they're kind of fade out their career and do their time for LIV. But there were people like Brooks Koepka and Jon Rahm. I think those are the two most obvious. I don't know if I put Bryson in this bucket, but those two really thrive on playing big time tournaments, big time venues, and they don't really get very excited for the lesser stuff. And they're major champions who had chances to be, and I'm not writing them off, but chances to be all time great players in terms of wins and majors. And they definitely lost something going to LIV, playing lesser courses, 54 holes, the team thing, the weird flow to the schedule, all that. And that was all very predictable.
Do you think Bryson DeChambeau would make a difference for the PGA Tour, make it more exciting?
Yeah, he's certainly one of the more charismatic and kind of neurotic in a fun way players to to have out there. So, yeah, no, there's no question he was the biggest loss in terms of the entertainment value he brings, and obviously that he's just a player who contends a lot and is a great golfer. But I'm not sure he's really lost that much going to live. He kind of does his own thing. He's got a lot of interest in his free time. God knows what he's doing with AI. I mean, he's probably training his AI model in the off season. But yeah, so he's somebody I don't feel like, because he's contended in several majors during this time. So, yes, he definitely was a loss for the tour in terms of charisma and the fun factor.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Also, you talk about Scottie Scheffler in your column, the quadrilateral. Winning two majors in a season, becoming the 22nd player in golf history to do it, makes this his best year yet. As with Xander Schauffele's PGA Open double in 2024, Scheffler's pair of wins stand out because of the vast differences between the two course setups, design and weather. So he's the man right now still. He's still a top dog.
Yeah, and he did that coming off his little Christmas mishap last year that started his schedule off to kind of a weird start. But I guess that also speaks to just how long the year is that that ultimately didn't impact him. And obviously he got good care because any kind of a hand injury, I mean, golfers in their hands are like pianists in their hands. You've really got to be careful not to have injuries there. And so and the slightest little thing we know can make your grip feel weird and whatever. So just an amazing year for him. Again, in kind of a weird way, it doesn't overshadow what Rory did at the Masters because that's kind of in a whole other stratosphere in terms of what went on there and how hard that was for him. But, you know, in my view, anytime a player wins two majors in a year, especially in the way the game's kind of played today with equipment that brings everybody together more, it's an outstanding feat. And as I wrote, you know, just like Xander Schauffele, to do it in two totally different environments is just very impressive.
It is, absolutely. He's so under the radar, though. There's something about him that isn't buoyant, you know, ebullient.
Yeah. No, it's not fun to watch him. He doesn't look like he's having fun.
I know.
He's definitely not going to be remembered as one of the great players you just love to watch play. And that said, you know, those 2 weeks, the thing I saw with him was that his attitude was really good, and he had very few of the little kind of embarrassing meltdowns and things that he can do. He was much more, for the most part, there were moments, but he was pretty focused and didn't let, his driver got taken away after a failed test at the PGA. You know, there were some things that could have derailed him. And I just think he's one of those players when he gets to a major that he recognizes he's got to save his energy, you know, because he wastes so much energy, kind of like John Rahm. You watch him too, and he wastes so much energy getting mad about things, which yeah. We're not used to seeing with great players happen that much. And in a major, you've got to have that energy for 72 holes because it's just they're long days and there's a lot of stress and a lot of time to think about everything that can go wrong, et cetera, et cetera. So it just shows you when he gets to those big events that that he's very focused. And he also didn't play the week before three of them this year, which was a change in his schedule that just appeared to make him even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What was it about the club that was, quote unquote, illegal?
Oh, well, they have driver testing rules. And unfortunately, one of the companies delivers these drivers to players very close to the line. Oh. And once you hit it a lot, I'm forgetting the name of it, but they have a CT something, CT creep is what I think they call it, which is really a weird name. But
yes.
The point is, the face is, you can imagine hitting a ball every day, and as they do, they're not like the rest of us. They're hitting it on the sweet spot. and it wears down that face. And when they retest it, it now starts to get into this part of the rules where it's illegal. Mm. And there's almost a spring-like effect, which is the thing that they're trying to prevent with this testing. And so, of course, Rory also had his driver, both made by the same company, fail that week. And so one player handled it better than the other, that's for sure. Rory was pretty upset that the word got out on that. And I understand why. The view was that, well, did he win the Masters with a tainted driver? Well, no, he didn't, because they tested the Masters too. So I don't know if his was tested, but they test them so regularly that a player has an idea when it's getting closer to becoming illegal because of this CT creep, as they call it. And so Scotty, you know, again, he took it knowing that that was probably the case, and he's going, okay, put a new one in. Rory, on the other hand, got pretty upset about it.
Yeah, he tends to. You know, it's just the way he is. He lets everything out.
Well, that's right. Yes. And again, I would defend him, because he didn't want people to think that he won the Masters with an illegal driver.
Absolutely.
So I understand why he was mad. But the problem is that he got mad at the press for reporting it, and the worst gossips on the tour, Danielle, are the tour van reps and then the caddies. Well, you put that piece of information with either of those groups, and it's going to spread like wildfire.
Those girls.
Yep.
Just talking and talking. You know, I wanted to just bring this up because you mentioned AI earlier. I think this is for the incredibly rich and famous. Full Swing and AI gaming partner, it's a Las Vegas-based EvenPlay, launched a game called Skill Strike, in which players on any Full Swing simulator in the approved gaming states can make bets on their own performance in what is essentially a closest to the pin contest.
Oh, dear.
I know. This is just, you know, but of course you've got to do this as in the home. Yeah, let's see. The closer the shot is to the hole, the more money you win. No kidding. And the biggest selling point, the game's algorithm adjusts to each player's skill level. Wow. You need a whole room for this thing, and bring your friends.
Sounds like a lot of work to me.
Doesn't it?
Why don't they just go over to the racetrack and bet on the seventh race at Santa Anita? Jeez,
I'll take that. Thank you very much. All right. Another point in your quadrilateral newsletter from, I'm speaking with none other than Jeff Shackelford, who wrote for all of the major, and then he decided, you know what, I'm not going to write for those people anymore. Danielle's really going far afield here. I'm going to do it for myself. He's written 13 books. By the way, what is number 14? Does it have a title yet? Are you going to let us know?
No. Well, it does, but I don't want to share it just yet.
Oh, okay.
It's got a ways to go, but it started, so that's the good news.
That is a good news, and
hardest part, writing a book.
Right on.
Get it started.
Yes. Okay. So Harris English, runner-up finishes to Scheffler in the PGA the Open. Harris English, funny thing is, you know, when he first came on tour, I thought, this guy doesn't have much panache, you know. I couldn't really read him, but he's still hanging in there, and he's still doing fabulously.
Well, that's the nature of the game, and you know, I'm sure we've discussed it at other times, this rush to push young players. I don't want to pick on anybody, but there's a list of a growing list of the next great thing that have already disappeared. And it's because golf, so it's a weird sport. Even the very best who've ever played have some years that aren't great, but we've also seen there are a lot of people who have these career resurgences. I mean, Keegan Bradley went through
Yes.
pretty rough patch for a while, and look at, he's in the, you know, one of the top 15 players in the world right now. Harris English, same thing, has definitely had some severely downtime, and it's just not a steady rise in the game, or nor is it ever easy to just have a straight run through a career. People like Tiger and Rory, I guess, and now Scottie Scheffler are probably exceptions. But for the most part, it's a game. At least on the men's side, I think you peak in your early 30s often, and or very late 20s, and so. It's great to see, and but it's also important to point out for all these people who are dying to rush a young player to the out on the tour that that's not always the best thing for their long-term career.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right now, Harris English, as you write in Quadrilateral, is there are only four players better: Scheffler, McIlroy, Schauffele, and Rahm. That's it.
Well, in the majors, yeah.
In the majors, yeah. Thank you. In the 2025's majors. How do you think things are going to be at Royal Portrush coming up?
Oh, we just did Portrush, Danielle. We got Birkdale now.
Where are we going, Tucker?
Yeah, Portrush was amazing. Birkdale is going to be a great open this year, too. It's our last major, and it's a place where it just always seems like a pretty big name player always wins, so I'm looking forward to that. The players love it because it's a very straightforward open venue. I like it, but I think there are other venues I like more. But like I said, it usually produces drama and a great winner. So yeah, we have a really good year. And last year was crazy in terms of qualities of courses and all that for not just the majors, but the cup events. So this year is, I would say it's a very solid year.
Excellent. Now, just in case you think that, you know, Jeff Shackelford only writes about guys, it's not true.
That's right.
Yes, it's not true. Maha Stark and Minji Lee. Let's talk about Stark first.
Well, it was a strange year in the women's majors, let's be honest. Really, only Minji Lee was truly consistent. Nelly Korda actually statistically had as good a year as she did last year, except she just didn't win. But in terms of scoring average and different things. But Stark's win at Erin Hills was sensational. And she's been kind of a nice rising player who's just sort of gotten a little bit better, and she's always been good, but it was a well-earned win. It didn't come easy. It's a big, tough golf course, and she held off a nice field. So it was she didn't do a whole lot after, but she's been a great Solheim Cup player, and I expect her to see her have a good run the next few years.
Yeah, I love what you wrote, though. You know, the U.S. Women's Open winner at Erin Hills, Maha Stark, is a 25-year-old from, now I don't know if I'm going to completely butcher.
Oh, it's okay.
Abacus Shane County?
Works for me.
Okay. Who sports a Ludwig meets Annika hybrid approach with a huge career ceiling. Stark's joyous performance at Erin Hills was the culmination of a career previously best known for her 10-5-1 Solheim Cup record and plenty of promise. Now, that is beautiful. Let me tell you, you got to expand upon Ludwig meets Annika, the hybrid approach.
We don't have a lot of players that look like they're having fun when they play. And the thing when you see Ludwig play is it's just joyful. He's having a good time out there. And same with her. And we don't normally associate that with the Swedish golfers. A lot of them, frankly, are pretty neurotic. They're pretty mechanical and intense and kind of weird. And I mean, I played with a couple in college at Pepperdine, and there's been a lot of them. And you know, Annika was a pretty intense competitor. I wouldn't put her in the neurotic bucket, but there are several that are just get very mechanical and obsessed with, you know, think of Alex Noren's one, and who had a great last half of the year, by the way. Another guy who is a guy in his 30s, an older guy, is having this resurgence. And so she just plays a lot like Ludwig. Looks like she's having fun. She's smiling. She's got a absolutely beautiful golf swing, just like he does. So that's kind of, but she is a little more focused probably, without being nuts about it like some of the Swedes can be.
I gotta be honest. You know, I'm all worried about saying her name wrong. I tend to think that it's the J.
She's not listening, Danielle. Okay. I guarantee you, it's okay.
It's okay. Okay. So is it Maja Stark or Maja Stark? What do you think?
I like Maja, but I live in California, so you know we take the Spanish influence. So I'm actually thinking, now that I think back on it, I believe it's Maya, but
Maya.
Yeah. Well, Stark. Let's just stick with Stark.
Stark. We're going. Thank you for rescuing me. Okay, and now the year's most insane, too good to be cinematic, non-career Grand Slam victory was captured in shocking fashion by the late blooming L.A. native J.J. Spawn. Now, don't you want to get quadrilateral? I mean, when you get to read the sentences he writes, it's just incredible. Could you expand upon, did I say J.J. Spawn correctly by any chance?
You nailed it. Yeah, okay. Nailed it.
Thank you.
Don't ask me what J.J. stands for. I don't know. But, the U.S. Open was kind of a mess. You know, the rain came, and it was just sort of, you just felt really bad for Sam Burns and Adam Scott, who were out there late and just didn't get, they had to, you know, play stoppages. The course was underwater. They didn't get relief on the 15th hole, or I don't understand. It sure looked like casual water to me. But so things were just, you were starting to go, oh no, is this going to be remembered as one of the, just a terrible U.S. Open that it just didn't feel like they should have been playing. And then here comes JJ with this amazing back nine, culminating with easily the shot of the year to me, the tee shot on the drivable 17th where he drove it onto the green and had a short eagle putt. And then, you know, one of the greatest putts in the history of the game, at least in majors, making a 66 footer in the rain and on that green, which is one of the craziest, just most severe greens imaginable. So it was just he just really saved the USGA at the end by essentially going out and winning the tournament instead of having somebody just fall into it, which was looking like that could be the case. So he and Robert McIntyre both just played amazing down the stretch and really saved that U.S. Open.
Awesome. That is wonderful. I want to talk to you about so many things. What do you think about the National Links Trust and, I don't know, the revocation of a lease agreement for the three public courses in the Washington, D.C. area?
It's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. I wrote a piece about this, and essentially the gist for people who don't know is that there's this group is kind of doing what we'd always hoped the USGA would do, which is really target great public courses that are run down but have the great bones and architecture and all that need some help. And they were going to do that for these three Washington, D.C. courses. They had already started. And and the best part about what they're doing, Danielle, is that they don't need a tournament to justify it. You know, Beth Page and Torrey Pines are great stories because they rejuvenated the courses and they've maintained the conditioning since. And so both places are thriving. But they needed tournaments to justify that. The National Links Trust set up something without tournaments, and now apparently the president's decided he can do something better. It's just a travesty. It's terrible. And I'm hoping somehow that somebody will intervene and allow them to continue to do what they were doing, because they were certainly not in any way in violation of their lease. It's kind of a bogus claim.
Wow. Okay. So this is Jeff Shackelford, author. I've mentioned this, 13 books, working on another. But what he spends most of his time on is the quadrilateral, which is so cool to get in your inbox. I mean, I love getting it because the writing is awesome. and I get so much information. You know, how else would I know some of the stuff? It's because Jeff, you know, he's covering it all the time, and he gets you on the inside. So where do we go again, Jeff?
Where do we go?
Yeah, you know, like Quad Shackelford.
Oh,
Quad,
yeah. Well, Quadrilateral, if you like typing that into Google, or Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F, and golf will take you to my site, or the Quadrilateral come up, and that's the best way to find it.
See, that's what I needed you to do, because I would have I would have messed it up, like Maya.
I'll get back to you on that one.
Would you please?
Yeah.
I'm going to go nuts. And it's already 2026. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. I love talking with you. I have a great time. And until next time.
All right. Thanks, Danielle. Aloha to you and all of your listeners. Thanks so much.
Aloha. And Happy New Year. And here we go. Okay, we're going to come back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, it is Aloha Power's week-long steel sale. It's time to retire the big box tools that, you know, maybe they've been around for long, and they wear. Steel is on sale, 25% off. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, whole lot more. We have service, parts, accessories for every rider, from home to commercial-sized. And you know, you mow it, you blow it, you bag it, you're done. And your back doesn't hurt as much. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evilay, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And you know, Hawaii Golf Digest's Best Teachers in Every State 2026-2027 is out. Kevin Shimomura, congratulations. Ko'olina Golf Academy, Kapolei, number one. And also, Chris Armanini, the Dunes at Maui Lani, Claude Brousseau, Wailea Golf Academy, Eddie Lee, Maui Nui Golf Course Club, Casey Nakama Development Center in Waimanalo, Oliver Olaquiano, Island Pacific Golf Academy in Eva Beach, Kevin Robalski, KMR School of Golf, Kaneohe, and Lee Sakagawa, the Dunes at Maui Lani, Esen Kahului, and Ben Hongo, Kapalua Golf Academy. Welcome into the show, into the clubhouse. Ben Hongo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It, boy, was it loud where you are?
Yeah, it was pretty loud. My dogs were struggling a little bit, but yes. We got through it.
Yes, all our furry friends were struggling. Some of them didn't want to even eat for a couple of days. Like, I don't know if I can get my mouth out here. Ben Hongo, PGA, also president, Aloha Section PGA, a member of PGA of America, of course. It's the largest sports organization composed of PGA of America golf professionals who work daily to grow interest and help you get to be the best you can be. Given time, of course, you've got to put in your time, but they're always with you, and they give you so many terrific tips, like Ben Hongo does, Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf. HongoGolf.com is where you go. Teaching professional based at Kapalua's Golf Academy in Lahaina. Now, I just wanted to get, you're a runner, a foodie, sushi cuisine you love the game. You've been with the Aloha Section since 1989. But what, you know, when you say runner, does running help if you're a golfer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think any fitness, I mean, it's better than nothing, right? I mean, does it have a direct correlation to the golf swing? Probably not. But a lot of us, you know, when we get to the 15th hole, you know, we run out of gas.
Uh-huh.
So
yes.
If you can run, you know, a few miles or whatever, and you have that stamina, you know, you develop stamina, I think it helps your golf game, especially later in the round.
Yeah, I totally get it, because it does. You do get tired, and if you, it's called exercise. You
yes.
Work up your muscles and stamina and all that good stuff. So doing something, you know, even if it's rowing, you know, indoors, like one of those rowing machines, I imagine that could be good for you. That's also upper body. Something to help you just not necessarily become a muscle person. Not that that's bad, but in the game of golf, do we want to be a muscle person, Ben Hongo?
Well, I think you have to, you know, find a balance, because I think in golf, especially for men, you know, with golf, I mean, I don't think it takes, you know, like a lot of strength to play golf. I think, you know, stability and, you know, having just the right amount of mobility, I think it's important. So I don't think you have to be a bodybuilder or even look like, you know, LeBron James to play good golf. But I do believe that there's a direct correlation to how far you hit the golf ball, to what you score. So, you know, to get into some type of a, you know, fitness program, I think it's important.
Excellent.
And there are a lot of specialists out there now.
Yeah.
You know, TPI, Titleist Performance Institute,
oh, yes.
You know, have, you know, programs for personal trainers and you know, there's specific exercises for golfers.
Yeah. And, you know, swimming would even be good. You know, swimming is surprisingly, you know, difficult. Once you make a couple of laps, you're like, oh, I think I'm getting tired here. And so there's anything that would work, and it, if you're a swimmer, because of your other body issues, you know, sometimes we can't take the impact. So running we don't do in golf. That's the beauty of it, too. You walk, you hit the ball, and here we go. We're going to have quite the windy, wet conditions report, you know, that's from the National Weather Service. Flood watch from late Saturday night through Monday afternoon for Ni'ihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, Lanai, Kahoʻolawe, Maui, Big Island is also. So the wind game, let's say we want to go out and play today and it's getting breezy. That swing easy thing, is that real?
It's real if you're trying to reduce the spin on the golf ball. So that would be more into the wind. So, you know, it depends on how hard the wind's blowing. But, you know, here at Kapalua, certainly we probably get a little bit more wind than you know, most places in the world.
Uh-huh.
And when you're going downwind, if you don't compress the ball and get some spin on the golf ball, you actually lose control. I mean, I think it's just as difficult playing downwind it is, you know, going into the wind. So I generally would say to people, you know, swing easy if it's breezy in your face. but hit it hard, you know, if you're going downwind.
Okay. So if I'm going downwind, I should be careful because the wind will take it a little bit further than I'd like it to go if I'm not careful.
Yeah, but sometimes what happens is the wind will push the ball down, and you actually kind of lose
your distance.
Yeah, it's kind of like airplane, right?
Yeah.
So they always kind of take off into the wind. So, you know, so during the Kona days, you know, you see the airports, they kind of operate backwards. So, you know, when you have the wind into your face, it creates enough friction and lifts the ball up, and that's what causes the ball to not, you know, to get, to hit the ball shorter. Well, you're going downwind, kind of the opposite effect happens, especially if it's really windy. I mean, if it's going 20 miles per hour, it's pushing the ball down, and you know, the ball may roll, but you'll lose some carry distance. So you have to be kind of careful. And there's another thing also is you lose, you know, let's just say 10 miles per hour. Okay? And a lot of people will say, oh, if it, you know, it's like a yard per miles per hour. So if you're going into the wind, you're going to lose 10 yards. And if you're going downwind, you're going to gain 10 yards. And, you know, the TrackMan stats tell us complete, it's totally not true. You know, if it's 10 miles per hour into your face, you may lose 15 yards, uh-huh. And you're going downwind, you might gain 5 yards. So okay. you gain a lot more. I mean, you lose a lot more into the wind opposed to downwind. So you can't just go equal.
Okay. That's really important. I mean, And now let's say I know nothing about the game of golf. I've been curious, you know, about it, but I'm kind of like, don't know if I just want to walk up to a school, a golf school, and say, hey, hi, I don't know anything about the game. Can you help people who are like completely, they were curious, they want to get outdoors, they love it, they watch on television, but they've never really got into it themselves, but they kind of like to, but it's nerve-wracking because they don't know how to approach it.
Yeah, I mean, I deal with that all the time here because I am in a resort setting. So, you know, a lot of my students they don't know which end of the golf club to hold on. So I have a lot of clients like that. And my first goal is just get them to feel comfortable.
That's nice. I like that. And the only reason I left is because we all feel that way. I mean, it's like, hello, I am really a novice. I mean, a novice is better than me.
Yeah.
But knowing that you want to make me feel comfortable and show me how to hold the club, that's half the it. But then you know what happens when somebody shows you how to hold a club? Then, of course, after you put it down and pick it up again, you're not sure that you're holding it right again. Don't worry. Ask if you're holding it right, because maybe you just haven't gotten that. After a while, it'll come naturally. You'll just put your hands and bingo, you know? But
Right?
It says it just, okay. So, but in addition to helping the, you know, people who are just not into the game at all but want to be, other reasons to go to get a lesson. You say get swing diagnostic testing. What is that?
That's kind of, there's so many stuff that's kind of with that kind of phrase.
Okay.
And it could be like, what a golf club is doing or what the body's doing. Fortunately today, you know, a lot of stuff are measurable. So for example, like for me, what I use from a technology standpoint is I use a launch monitor. It's called Full Swing, very similar to TrackMan. And it gives me, I think, 12 different parameter of what a golf club is doing. So how fast is the golf club moving, angle attack, you know, so on, so on. And then I also use an app called Sports AI, which measures how your body is moving.
Well, how does it do that?
It tags. You take a video of yourself swinging the golf club, and the AI kind of takes over, and it gives you kind of an avatar of a like a robot or stick figure golfer, and it measures key points like, you know, shoulders or hips or and stuff like that. So it gives me a good idea, and gives people kind of an idea as to what they're actually doing, you know. And I think it's important, you know, if I can measure it and put a, you know, quantity on what's actually happening, it helps people. And then when we start to see improvements, they'll start to feel something a little different. And I say, well, that feel is giving you 10 more degrees of shoulder time, for example. And they go, oh, okay. So they go after that feel.
Ah,
and
nice.
After a while, we can kind of do a comparison and say, you know, are you improving or you're not improving? So it's not, you know, so it becomes a little bit more like, you know, getting your blood test or, you know, when you're going to the doctors and, you know, do all that stuff, that, you know, the checkup stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, oh, are you feeling good? You know, so we get a little bit more. And as far as the launch monitor, it gives us a really good idea what the ball's doing. So, you know, it gives us idea of how far you're hitting an 8-iron or, you know, whatever. I've done lessons with better players where I just take the launch monitor and we go through the bag. So they know exactly how far each golf club is flying, you know, in the air.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I had a client where we did this, and we found out that once we got to the 6-iron, his carry distance was pretty much all the same with the 6, 5, 4, and 3.
Oh.
So well, what we did was we changed his set, really. So we went to hybrids and fairway woods on the top end of it, so he can see some carry distance difference, because hybrids and fairway woods, they always fly a little bit higher.
Wow. So in addition to getting the lesson, you're also helping with the club fitting.
Correct.
That's neat. I mean, and that's really important. I think a lot of people don't realize how important club fitting is. What do you think?
I think it's a, you know, big part of it. I mean, I think if you're a total beginner, never played golf before, and you're a guy and you're right-handed, you just need a men's right-handed just to kind of get started.
Uh-huh.
But when you go out and go, okay, I want my own set, you know, there's no reason why you wouldn't just go to a fitter. And there's a lot of, you know, great fitters and companies that that don't discriminate, you know, like manufacturers. I'm signed with PXG, so I'm biased with PXG.
Ah, got it.
But there are there's companies out there like True Specs who, you know, you get fitted, and you get fitted for the best golf club that you can get, you know, whether it's Titleist or Ping or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So this is Ben Hongo. Okay, and you, if you can get, he's the president of the Aloha Section PGA, member of the PGA of America, the largest sports organization, all PGA of America golf professionals. They work every day growing interest and getting you involved in the game, if you'd like to be involved, of course. Some of the things you can do if you, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing, learn the basics with Ben Hongo. Get comfortable for business golf, because so many business people are on the golf course having conversations with their clients, with their friends, with each other, different companies. You know, it's, you get to get comfortable, and that's really important. And that, you know, of course, you know, another thing that everybody worries about is being on the tee, you know, the first time.
Yep.
They're all staring at me.
Yep.
I'm going to blow it. Don't think like that. But as you say, Ben, people just have a lot more fun on the golf course when they just get a little akamai with what's going on.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think golfers, we're so busy, you know, taking care of our own, because the game is so hard, right? So you're trying to kind of concentrate on your golf game, but you don't really have time to concentrate on other people's golf game. So I don't generally, you know, I don't think people really sit there and really critique other players playing golf. I think you're just so into your own, you know, you're kind of in your own little bubble.
So we shouldn't be embarrassed in case people are watching. They're not really watching.
I don't think they're like, you know, and – And we've all seen bad shots. it's not like, and I get it. I mean, you know, I get nervous myself too, right? You're sitting on the first tee and I'm supposed to be the, you know, the golf pro guy and whatnot. And there's 20 people watching you on the first tee and, you know, you want to kind of represent the PGA brand. And
right.
so I get a little nervous too, but, you know, you just kind of do your thing, and hopefully, as long as you're trying, you're okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I've seen bad shots off my golf club.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Thank you, and all of the teaching is just getting you into it, and then all of a sudden you kind of click, something clicks, and you get it, and you feel it. And you just love it, and it's wonderful. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us, Ben.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
I'm glad. Thank you. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha.
Okay, we're coming back. Coming back right after this, Colin Weston, founder and owner, ModSport Media. I think I've got the wrong sheet with me. I will fix that for you after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
All right. And, you know, your phone calls. So who do you call when your home appliance isn't working? Seriously. My home appliance? Yeah. Who do you call? Pacific Repair Services. Pacific Repair Services. They're at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS, Pacific Repair Services. They do repairs, maintenance, and sales. So you can find them on the web at prscares.com, prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers. Don't, you know, just because your microwave isn't working at this moment doesn't mean it can't work for you again. That's right. It's prscares.com. They have fabulous prices. They've got another shipment in stock in case you, you know, just want to get a new microwave. Rely on Pacific Repair Services because your home appliances, they have to work.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
On Maui, in addition, of course, all the rain that's supposed to be coming in, the thunderstorms and what have you, starting not today, but tomorrow, overnight. A late addition to the Maui traffic list, Hawaiian Tel is working in Ma'ala'ea 8 a.m. today, possibly into the evening of Sunday to address an outage in the area. Expect single lane closure on Honoa Pi'ilani Highway north of Ma'ala'ea Road heading to Wailuku. Colin Weston, he's host and creator of the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup, the latest in golf technology, innovation, sustainability, entertainment, and wellness news. He's launching in 2 weeks. He's right here with us. Colin, welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, my friend, Happy New Year. Happy to hear your voice.
Happy New Year, Colin, and thank you. Thank you. So you're going to be at the PGA show, but before we talk about that, because I also want to hear about the most listened to Mod Golf episodes of 2025, what is your Mod Golf Weekly Roundup? Give us a lowdown.
I will. Well, thank you for asking. So as you very well know, because you've been one of my superstar guests on the Mod Golf podcast, which I ran for coming up on 9 years now, launched in 2017. So started with the podcast, talking about golf innovation, entrepreneurs, all those great stories that you know of, and then got into the YouTube space a few years ago also. So with Mod Golf, we're both on our YouTube channel and also with the Mod Golf podcast. But as someone that's been in this golf innovation space for more than a dozen years now, I saw a gap, an opportunity last year that no one in the podcast space was talking about these stories that you so nicely teed up for me there as far as golf innovation, entrepreneurship, technology, fitness, entertainment, sustainability, all these pieces that I've been talking about for years and that I consult also on. And even though other industries are having these weekly shows with this short, sharp, quick hit to bring everybody up to date on what's new and what's happening. And I looked at this and I said, maybe I should actually tell those stories about golf innovation for the business side of the industry. So that's what I'm doing. So as you mentioned, I'm going to be launching the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup. It'll be short and sharp, about 10, 12 minutes long each episode, launched on Fridays. And it will be covering just that, a quick hit of every single story of what's new and what's happening in the future of golf.
I like it. I like it because a lot of people, you know, sustainability is so important, but innovation, finding out who is developing what, when can I get it, you know, is this the next best thing to happen? Is this a golf ball that will fly farther for me? All that
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
Right? Right. So where do you get your information?
Great question. So I've had this privilege of meeting over 200, coming up to 250 people like yourself as guests on the Mod Golf podcast. So I have this incredible community, this network now of people in all these diverse areas of the golf industry on the innovation side. So I am getting stories from them, whether they're posting on LinkedIn or whether I'm just doing research. I'm using a little bit of AI to help find some stories, and then, of course, fact-checking those, because we know sometimes AI cannot be 100% accurate.
Uh-huh.
So it's a combination of these things. So having this great network over the last decade or so allows me not only to extract their stories and kind of cultivate those and curate those, but also giving those people even more exposure by, of course, telling those stories and giving them the shout out for that. And then we have this flywheel effect where with a newsletter and also in the show notes, all the links, if you want to read about that story or dig deeper into that or contact these people, I have all that information there. So in a way, I'm extending that net to support the community. And I'm all about community building here in the golf industry. First and foremost, is one of my pillars with Mod Golf. So this allows me to extend what I'm doing already with the Mod Golf podcast, which, as you know, are one-on-one interviews with all these amazing people in the golf industry. So it's not replacing what I'm doing with Mod Golf. It is complementing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just for everybody, where did the name Mod Golf come from? And what, you know, why is it called Mod Golf?
That's an Great question. So this is way back in 2016, after we stumbled into the golf industry with our first venture, and you were one of the ones that was very kind when we were no one in the golf industry with Rip Links way back. Gosh, that was a dozen years ago. That's how long we've known each other, and I was on your show.
Uh-huh.
So after the first couple of years of being in the golf industry, but not really being in it, I realized I need to connect and find out how this golf industry works. And the way that I did it was creating the Mod Golf Podcast. So as far as the name, I looked at it from mod as in modern.
Okay.
Innovation side, forward thinking. So mod is really condensed down from modern.
Yeah.
So Mod Golf, I kind of like that. It stuck. It was catchy. It was easy to remember. And that's where it took off. And 9 years later, it's still Mod Golf. And then that bigger piece with the company that I'm now formalizing now is Mod Sport Media. So it'll be more than golf, even though, as you very well know, golf is my major focus and passion.
Yeah, I when you said Mod Golf, I read Mod Golf from the get-go. I think of England. It's mod. It was a word to describe something that was happening now. The latest, the greatest, the best. And that's what, and then I was wondering, well, maybe it's Modern Golf Weekly Roundup. That's where I was getting confused. So that's excellent.
Oh, well, actually, on that point, cause I know that you spent some time in England, so mm-hmm. you definitely know mod and that mod movement. So in
right.
fact, I have a British heritage, so there is that other layer to it, the mods
yes.
back in the 60s and mostly. So there is that connotation too, but I don't tell many people about that, especially younger people. They just look at me and like, what the heck are you talking about? but yes, there is that second meaning there that you absolutely nailed.
Right on. So, and you're going to be at the PGA show. Now, have you been before?
I have been several times. Quick little story. The first time we were ever there was with Rip Links. Of course, we were created that event platform, which now there's other, more than 10 years later, there's other people doing similar things with TGL and Grass League and those types of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So my first PGA show ever was in 2015, myself and my friend and business partner at the time. We basically snuck in the back door as wedding crashers. We should not have been at the PGA show. We had a PGA pro we knew locally here in Vancouver say, you should go to the PGA show to spread the word of Mod Golf or Rip Links, and we didn't even know what the heck he was talking about. Got in there. We really had no right being there. And that's where it took off. And we connected with all these other groups. And that was my first time. So the first time we shouldn't have been there. Then after that, with Mod Golf, I started getting invited to speak with a part of the educational series about entrepreneurship and innovation in the golf industry and setting up panel discussions, one called the Golf Disruptors. And now I'm there every single year after COVID. It'll be the fourth year I've been there post-COVID. That as part of their media center, I will be speaking or setting up live shows there for 2 hours. So it's really kind of ironic in a sense that we had no right being there the first time, and now they asked me to be there to speak about golf innovation. So life is a funny thing.
When the gate crasher becomes a part of the team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's weird how it works.
Yeah.
I'm amazed we didn't get thrown out on the first day when we snuck in with our Rip Link black t-shirts and our trucker hats. We looked like a couple of overage skate punks and really had no right being there.
Yeah, not the outfit that you normally see a golf person wearing.
We stood out, yes. That sea of beige trousers and blue blazers. We were definitely not that. So people were turning heads there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and one of the great things about the show is not only is it equipment, it's clothing, golf clothing,
yes.
made by just a myriad of people. And yesterday or the day before, I was wearing a golf shirt, which just, it's spectacular. The fabric is spectacular. The design work on it, it's a beautiful flower on a background. And it just has a little zip up, it's for playing golf. It's wicking, it breathes, it's all. And my mother saw it and she hadn't seen me wear it before. And she goes, that's a beautiful shirt you're wearing. And I didn't want to say, yeah, Mom, that's my golf shirt.
Hey, it's Mom approved. Yeah. So if it's good enough for Mom, it's good enough for all of us.
Well, the point is, we've come a long way in the game of golf from cookie cutter kind of clothing, and a lot of people who didn't, know how to sell to women because most of the buyers were guys. And now there's a whole industry of female, entrepreneurs who are in the midst of this wonderful fabric and perfectly cut, everything done, so that when a woman gets on the golf course, she feels, like I'm not only do I belong here, I am this. That's a sense of belonging that something like that brings, and who made it. All of that stuff is critical. It's just a wonderful sport. And I can wear it when I'm not playing golf. Doesn't matter.
No, you make such a great point there about when you're not playing golf. And I've had the honor and opportunity of speaking to so many amazing female founders, women entrepreneurs in the golf industry, especially on the apparel side. And that theme that you touched on is, you look fantastic and feel great on the golf course, but you can walk right off and go in the lounge and have dinner, or even jump in your car and meet your friends downtown for dinner.
Yep.
And the fact that it is streetwear and it's fashionable, it's elegant and sophisticated, and it's no matter what your body shape or type is, the fact it is complimentary is rather than just some of the older women's golf apparel, as you touched on, was designed by men. So you get what you get, and it wasn't what women wanted. So it's one of the themes or pillars with Mod Golf I've had for years, is doing my best to give a voice to underrepresented communities and entrepreneurs, especially women and underrepresented people.
Excellent. KORL, Waianae, Honolulu. So, Colin, it would be kind of fun having you on the show. Do you think you might have time to do some, a conversation about the show?
The answer is yes.
Yes.
I know the Thursday morning I'm going to be at 2 or 3 hours live, so the Thursday morning won't work out too well, but Wednesday could work. We'll figure it out. We always do. We're entrepreneurs. We don't ask for certainty. We just kind of find clarity as we go here. So the short answer is yes. Just
great.
Say yes. I'm happy to do that. If something works for you and what you need, let's do it.
That'd be
Make
fun. That would be fun for you to tell us, what the hot item is in whatever department, whether it's, new golf balls that are coming out or new gloves or, the perfect driver that everybody's ogling.
Yes. Well, here's what we can do, because your show, of course, is always on Saturday morning.
That's right.
I'll be finished the show on Friday. That'll give me a chance to catch my breath and put some thoughts together. If you want me on your show right after the PGA show, once it ends, the day after, that Saturday, which will be, 3 weeks from now, I think?
It's
the calendar in front of me. But let's make that happen. If you've got a spot, I'm happy to tell you all the things that I've learned. I'll give you the download.
I would love that. And that's great, because the show is January 20th to the 23rd, and it's in Orlando, so you won't be freezing, I don't think. But the weather's been a little bit weird.
It has been. It has to be warmer than Vancouver here. It is almost freezing and raining out, so I won't be playing outdoor golf today. But part of that, one of the trends, of course, with the explosion of indoor simulator golf, I will be walking 4 blocks from my house to a new simulator venue that's opened up. It's membership only, so I'm a member there. So people give me weird looks as I'm walking around in the freezing rain with my golf clubs, but I walk 4 blocks and I go play golf with my friends for 2 hours. So I'll be doing that, even though the weather here is not great. And also, as you mentioned, in Florida, usually in January, it's not 75 or 80 degrees. It's a little chilly there, but I'm a hardy Canadian guy. I can get out and play. I have no problem with that.
You're looking forward to it. Yeah. And there's this new AI thing that has come out too, which everybody gets to wager on their game. Oh, it's fascinating, all the different things people can do. I was just looking for the, I can't find the sheet that I have it on. We'll have to talk about that too. See if you see the gaming version in the show.
I know there's a few AI companies that have reached out to me already, and on Mod Golf the past year especially, I've covered AI a lot and all across different usages in the golf industry, which is not a surprise because it's just exploded so much. But it's very interesting touching on AI, if I can, just for a second, to tie in that sustainability piece. Even myself, I'm a little conflicted with AI. I've started to use it more, even with Mod Golf, to help me be more efficient with a lot, whether it's helping write the show notes or things. Like, I'm an okay writer, but it takes a long time, and it's not easy for me. So using AI for a lot of those pieces is really great. And whether it's in training for your golf swing and analysis and coaching, AI is doing all these great things. But on the other side, I saw this article just a week or so ago that I will include in the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup on the first one that we released. And that is, a lot of golf courses in the mainland United States are starting to get bought off. So these are either municipal courses or publicly owned or kind of mom and pop one-offs that have been around for years and years. And these AI data centers, which are massive, and they need hundreds of them across the U.S. to handle the demand as AI just explodes, are buying up these golf courses and offering 10 times the value of the golf courses. So if I was an owner, I'd say, absolutely, I'm in. Here you go. But we're losing golf courses, and this land is being converted. So I don't have an opinion one way or the other, because I'm also part of the problem, because I'm one using AI. But it's complicated with AI and its impact on golf all across the spectrum.
Wow, I'm going to have to look that up, because that's just wrong. Are they? Thank you for being.
Got you going there.
Yeah, you did. You did. I've got a new. Yes, I have to find out what's happening. Wait, they're converting beautiful golf courses into, like, I don't know, building so they can put a bunch of computers in a big box or something on top of that land.
That's right. And they need to be close to an energy grid. They need to be close to water.
Yes.
A ton of water.
Yes.
And they take up, they're massive. So they take up 150 to 200 acres.
Great.
Got these golf courses that have been on for so many years. Like I said, a family run place. Maybe the value is a golf course that's worth $3 million. And then they get offered $30 million for the land.
Wow.
Of course you're going to take that. So this is an ongoing debate that's been raging, that's just starting, to see where this goes. So from this environmental standpoint, and where do we reconcile that? And like I said, I don't have any answers here. I'm not going to preach one side or the other, but there's a lot of interesting things that in stories like that, you say, I want to learn more about this. Well, if you listen to 10 minutes of the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup that launches in 2 weeks, you will get that right away. There you go.
There you go. Colin Weston, thanks for being inside the clubhouse. Talk to you soon.
It is my pleasure. Have a great day.
Aloha. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider. His home base is Beverly Hills. Wow, he's in Santa Monica. I wish I was standing right next to him, because he's got the most amazing story to tell after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
It's Aloha Powers Landscape Super Sale, featuring riding mowers from homeowners to landscapers. Warranties and delivery available. We take trade-in mowers. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Mowers, blowers, trimmers, generators, chainsaws. You want them? We got them today. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Aloha.
And we ship off island.
Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
Who do you call when your home appliance isn't working? Pacific Repair Services. Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. Call us at 808-736-4080 or find us on the web at prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers at fabulous prices. Rely on Pacific Repair Services, because your home appliances have to work. What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You know, Michael Patrick Shields, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hello from Santa Monica, California, the beginning or end, depending how you look at it, of Route 66.
You know.
And I'm in the parking lot of Mel's Diner because there are, I think, about 11 classic cars that are pretty soon going to fire up their engines all together, and they're going to start a parade across Route 66 all the way up to Chicago and into Detroit for the Detroit Auto Show. And these beautiful babies are all parked right in front of me here, and the drivers are in their denim jackets. They look like airline or Air Force pilots that are going to get behind the wheel of these things and make a parade across America.
Yes, this is awesome. The Detroit Auto Show starts in Santa Monica. Is that not amazing?
It is amazing, but these cars are sort of returning home, and that's what they call it, because this is the 100th anniversary of Route 66, so it's called the Drive Home. For cars like a Mustang, for instance, I'm looking at, and a GTO, and a Ford Woody station wagon, and a Cougar, and these cars, of course, were all born in Detroit, and they're going home.
That's awesome. You know, Todd Soft, I'm not sure, I'm probably mispronouncing his name, chairman of the Detroit Auto Show. Lincoln Phillip is the president of the, is it DADA board, data board?
Yeah, the Detroit Automobile Dealers Association. They are all here.
Yeah.
And these cars will all be on display at the Detroit Auto Show. But what they're going to do is they're not going to clean them off when they get to Detroit because they want people to see that they've been through the battle of driving across America in snow and who knows what, rain and mud and dust. And so they'll be the only cars at the Detroit Auto Show that you won't be able to see your own reflection in because they're going to be authentic.
Authentic Route 66ers. Now, where does Route 66 end?
It ends in Chicago, and of course, they'll continue on to get into Detroit. But that's, you know, and the Route 66, not to ruin the magic, but it's not, it doesn't actually exist anymore. It's a collection of other roads that gets you across America. Yeah. So, you have to do a little planning and scheming if you're going to do it, but there are sections of it where you will get the same feel. You'll be in places, you know, like Kingman, Arizona, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Amarillo, Texas, Weatherford, Oklahoma, Springfield, Illinois, and then in Chicago where Route 66 comes to an end. And technically it ends here at Mel's Drive-In in the parking lot, and they also have some people who claim it ends at the end of the Santa Monica Pier. So you could take your pick, but I mean, the pier is only a few steps from here anyway.
No, this is great. We have a Mel's Drive-In right here in Hawaii. When I saw that, I went, Mel's Drive-In? I wonder if they, you know, family from Hawaii to Santa Monica.
And we have a Duke's. We have a Duke's in Malibu and also one down in Long Beach. So we have, you know, we pay a tribute to your famous surfer here in California as well.
That's awesome. Well, the Detroit Auto Show partners with the America's Automotive Trust and the National Route 66 Centennial Commission. So it's been 100 years?
100 years of Route 66, and I'm really hoping before we go off the air, these babies are going to fire up their engines because you know, I don't know how you feel about it, but that is music to
my
ears of people who love these types of cars.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was up in the stock car track, and I would note down every time one of the stock cars came around. And then sometimes we'd have the mini mods and the modifieds, you know, and it was great. It was a lot of fun. And seeing them up close is one of the best parts of the whole game. I mean, you see them and the sound is awesome. But when you walk over to them and you see how they're made and how everything, the detail is inside the car as well. It's not just an exterior. It's you get a whole different feel about the whole automotive industry and, you know, something like this. Route 66.
What's the longest drive you can take on Oahu?
Oh,
like, if you want to go and like put the pedal to the metal and get some wind in your hair, what's the longest drive you can take?
The H1 freeway from just about Kahala to... When you're talking about...
How long does that take?
Well, wind in your hair out to Waianae, it would be about an hour's drive, depending on the traffic. But it would be on the freeway. You know, we have so many stoplights. Route 66 probably doesn't have a whole lot of stoplights, does it? I don't know.
No, you'll have stretches where you go. And in fact, I just interviewed Lauren Salisbury, who's the tourism director here in Santa Monica. She once rode her bicycle from Santa Monica to St. Augustine, Florida, all by herself.
Wow.
Doing 80 miles a day through that stretch of America and all across Texas and all that. So. There's this thing about, you know, driving across America that gives you a sense of adventure.
Yes.
And if you've never done it, you know, it reminds you how diverse our country really is. And I include Hawaii in that, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking of going around the island from, let's say, Haleiwa all the way around the East Shore. And then coming around and then going on the freeway and then taking your way up to the Waianae coast.
Mm.
You could go around the island, but you can't. There's a place where you can't connect. It's every island has it. The road ends at a certain place on each side of the circle. Let's say each island is a circle. The road ends on each side of the circle. So there's no connect because you never want to stop the flow from land to sea. With something man-made like a road. It's kind of deep, but I'm not going to go any further than that. This is one of the most influential automotive events, the Detroit Auto Show, and you get to see all of the innovations. Anything that is being talked about more than anything, like brand-defining, hands-on activations...
Yes, and one of the exciting things this year is just as the show is getting started, Ford and Red Bull are going to be announcing their partnership for Formula One racing, and they're going to do it in a building that used to be the decrepit train station in Detroit that Ford Motor Company has completely renovated and turned into a jewel of a building.
Wow.
And so that'll be exciting to have an American company involved in Formula One, and Cadillac is going to do the same, so we're suddenly going to have two American sort of teams to root for in F1, if you follow that.
Yeah, Formula One. That's the best. That's the top. Yeah. You don't build it in your daddy's garage.
Well, we had a pretty rainy Rose Parade this year. The game was okay. It wasn't too bad for Indiana. They didn't get rain for the game, but the parade was soaked. And Magic Johnson was the grand marshal, but the parade went on and the show went on. And it's a beautiful way to start your New Year's if you ever get over this way and get there at 8 in the morning and see all those floats and celebrities and, you know, start your New Year's resolutions that way. I don't know what yours are.
To be good.
You already do that.
Resolutions. I'm going to have to think about it some more. I was reading about the Detroit Auto Show, just trying to, you know, look up some of the different things. And then I dropped down to the 2026 Detroit Auto Show highlights because Michael Patrick Shields sent me the write-up on all the different things that are happening. And there's the gallery fundraiser. There's the media and industry days. There's the Mobility Global Forum. There's the Future Leaders Program. There's the Charity Preview, Public Show, Racing Day, presented by the Detroit Grand Prix. That's on the 20th. So this is going, this whole celebration and Future Leaders Program wraps it up January 21st through the 22nd. This, all of this is happening the whole month long.
There won't be any golf, though, because it's Michigan in January.
No.
And there won't even be any golf carts because it would be too cold to drive them around. So when you're on that grass out there that looks like a green carpet with lava-lined fairways, you just think about that. I got to ask you, and I'll ask Rick, too, if he's listening and anybody else who's listening right now. I saw a little question on social media yesterday. If it was a 150-yard par 3 and somebody told you that you could have $250,000 guaranteed to walk away, or you could get $5 million if one of your three shots hit and stayed on the green, which would you take?
Oh, I'd go for the three shots and hope get it on the green.
Why you don't not? Need $250,000 in your hand?
Of course, it'd be great to have $250,000 in my hand.
But wouldn't you be nervous to hit that shot and know you got three chances to hit a green 150 yards away?
I have to hit the green, right? I don't have to go. I don't have to get a hole in one. I just have to get on the green.
No, you just got to hold the green.
Hold the green. Yeah, I would.
How many times do you hit a par three? How many times in a round do you hit the green on par threes? You got four chances. Think about it.
Well, probably not that
maybe
often.
You're better than I am, maybe,
Michael Patrick Shields. You know, I'm probably not being honest with myself, but I would much rather go for the $5 million. And, you know, be able to break that down and in my little will saying, I want that to go to my grandson and I want that to go to so-and-so.
No. There's not going to be anything left if you get the $5 million. We're going to whoop it up. We're going to get a private jet, fly it anywhere around the world.
We're going to take a cruise around
all those different places.
Wait. Can we just get on a cruise ship? And like stop.
Sure, there is one that doesn't stop, you know, and goes all around the world.
Exactly.
You buy a condo on it.
Yes.
And then you never dock.
Yes.
I mean, you dock, but you never have to get off.
One of those.
Hey, I got one of these cars just fired up. I'm gonna walk over so you can hear it.
All right, the rumble.
But I think my first shot of the three shots.
Yeah.
I would definitely skull it or you know pop it because I'd be so nervous.
Yeah.
And then here it is.
Oh! Sounded
how's
like
that?
An airplane.
The driver did that just for you.
Yo, thank you so much. I feel like I'm in the midst of everything. That is so cool. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun on that cruise ship, Mr. Michael Patrick Shields.
And true. We'll hit golf balls off the side.
Off the fantail. Now,
we hit them in the water all the time anyway, so what's the difference?
What's your second shot? The first one you say you'd skull it. Will your second shot?
I know I'll skull the first one. The second one will probably hit the green in a tantalizing way and then dribble off the side. And the third one, I'll have a heart attack and die before I even draw the club back.
You know, let's be more optimistic. That's got to be your, you know, for 2026 to be more optimistic. To have more faith in yourself.
I'll make my resolution to get to Hawaii some way, one way or another, before the year's out.
Well, it's about time.
True.
Haven't seen you in a
cruise. They're all firing
age.
Up now. Can you hear them?
Yeah. Yeah. Morning. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha. Oh, we have to thank the people who make this show possible. Michael Patrick Shields. He makes the fun. All right. We welcome Pacific Repair Services. They're located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Mortars. PRS. Yes, they do repairs, maintenance, and sales. Call us 808-736-4080 or you can find us online, prscares.com. We fix, we maintain, and we sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers. So if something's not working in your house, you don't have to just, you know, get freaked out and go, I can't afford to get a new one. Well, you can have the one that you have that's having problems fixed. PRS, Pacific Repair Services. Welcome, the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round. Wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, good fun. Aloha Powers week-long New Year's celebration. Work faster, smarter, easier without, you know, hurting yourself. You got your riding and your walking motors, your chainsaws, your whackers, and more. And steel is on sale, 25% off. Get yours today, Aloha Power Equipment. The Aloha Section, PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, health, friendship, and family, go golf. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Maui. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.